All right, it is good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and I always say that on Sunday morning when I have to teach or preach, because it's true. So many other places we could be, and if it wasn't for the Lord directing us to come to His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth, we would be doing something not of God. So I just praise the Lord that we're here, and I'm sure most of you would much rather hear Brother Joey preach just like I would myself. But, I'm just a willing vessel, and I want to give God all the praise and glory and honor for all that I do say, and pray that that as I preach, that you will hear His word and understand and focus more on being more like Christ, and that He will get all the glory, And I never want to come up here and get vain glory, because it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Something happened at work, just something I thought of, is a guy at work was talking about here this past week. They put new transfer balls on the machine that I use to weld on tanks. And they put new lights in. They just fixed my area all up. And this guy come up and said, "Yeah, you got this new, you got that new." And he said, "Yeah, it must be who you know." And I said, "You're right. I know the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "It is who you know." That's who I give all the credit to. Looking at Psalms chapter 4. And it goes right along with what Brother Lamar put in our bulletin, which is one of my favorite verses because it is so true. I'll go ahead and read that verse while you're looking for it. And it says in 1 Peter 4:12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning this fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you." And we think about that because there's no trial that you can go through that the other children of God are not familiar with. At least one has been through that trial, and the Lord has delivered them through it, and they can tell you what God has done for them. So each time you're going through something, you got to remember, what are you going through it for? It's not just for you, but it's for the growth of other Christians. The main verse that I'm eventually going to focus on is going to be in chapter 4 and verse 1, but we're going to read chapters 3 and 4 to get started. But first, verse 1 of chapter 4 says, "Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." I had been looking at praying and prayers, and I thought I was going to speak on that, but my main goal is to speak what the Lord would have me to speak. And it kind of confirmed it when I looked in the bulletin and saw 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, considering that fiery trial which is to try you, because that's what this is talking about. And chapter 3, he's talking about crying out for help. And right here he says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." And we're going to get into more detail on this, looking at not just your call, but about He's a God of my righteousness. It's not your righteousness. Even though He's saying my righteousness, it's a righteousness of God that He put in you. And He is the God of it. He says, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." And I thought I had knew exactly what that word enlarged meant. And then I got to reading different commentaries, and I'll read them to you also. It'll be a lot of reading this morning. And I had something different than what they had. I said, the Lord had showed me something that I was not finding in the commentaries. But I just praise the Lord for it, and I will share it with you. But he says, "When I was in distress, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." And all through the book of Psalms, you hear David talking about, Lord hearing his prayer. He said, "I waited patiently upon the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry." So we got to know that when we cry out to the Lord, we're to wait patiently, and He will hear our cry, if we're one of His. All right, I'm going to read through, like I said, chapter 3 and 4. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And I thought, as soon as I heard that, I thought about many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord upholdeth them. You know, the Lord delivereth them from them all. You know, we just got to put our trust and faith in God to deliver us through all that we go through and all the enemies that we have. There's no enemy that's greater than God. You know, we think about greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we've got to have confidence in that. Amen. Verse 2 says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. And I think about that. There's, you know, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And you think about, when that's the first verse that comes to my mind when I read this. He says, many be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. You know, that's because they don't believe in God. They don't believe that God's going to help them through this. And a lot of times when it looks like you're going through something and it's real bad, and you know that it's just a fiery trial and there's nothing strange about it, and that God's delivering you, bringing you through it, and he's going to deliver you, and you're saying, you know, Lord, what can I learn through this? And Lord, what scriptures can I fall on that will help bring me through this? Verse 3 says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I've cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. See, I lay me down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. And there's a guy I used to work with. He just retired this past year. And he worked almost, I think he was like a couple of months away from 40 years at Rheem. And he said he never used alarm clock. He said the Lord woke him up every morning. And he was never late. You know, and that's a testimony to God. And I've always commended him for giving credit to God, even when, you know, we had safety meetings and, you know, sometimes we get to give little testimonies of stuff like that. And he gave the testimony and said that, you know, the Lord woke him up. You know, he said it was not that he woke up, but the Lord woke him up. And he says, I laid me down and slept. He said, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. But it's the Lord who laid him down and the Lord who woke him up. Verse 6 says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. No matter who it is, no matter how many it is, there's none greater than Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's who we put our faith and trust and protection in. Verse 7 says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And the part that jumps out to me is salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And there's so many people and so many, they look to themselves for salvation. They look to themselves and think it's something they can do. Like Brother Lamar was speaking this morning, and he said, you know, they think they can have some kind of merit to get favor with God. I think, well, if my good outweighs my bad, surely God will accept me. And it's not on your acceptance. He said, you are accepted in the beloved. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, they say the phrase, I accepted Christ. And the truth be is that, you know, he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. He said, you know, and he, you know, of course he does give you that choice. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of the ones before the flood, or the true and the living God. You do make a choice, but it's God who begins that work. He said, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. And we know that, you know, you can't come to the Father except through Jesus Christ, and you can't come to Jesus Christ except the Father which has sent him draw you. You know, so we know that God draws you. You come to God through Christ, but remember, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It is God who saves. You know, a lot of people, what I was really getting at was a lot of people put their confidence in the preacher. They put their confidence in the one sharing the gospel when they need to put their confidence in the gospel. All right, starting with first verse of chapter 4 and start off with, it says, to the chief musician on, I could almost get Brother Lamar to go ahead and say this, Neganeth, as good as I'm going to get, a psalm of David. And it said that word means a stringed instrument. You know, because you could actually think, you know, if I could play the guitar, I could play the guitar while I'm reading through this psalm, you know, because that's what he's talking about, a stringed instrument. You know, he's talking to the musician. And I happen to think of that as I was looking through here. It says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. You know, and that's our cry always, is that God will hear us when we cry, that he will have mercy on us, and that, you know, he will deliver us from what we're going through. And a lot of times, you know, we're so focused on getting through this that we don't see the lessons that we're to learn during this trial. Verse 2 says, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, which is lying? He says, Selah. Here he is, you know, he just got through asking God to hear his prayer. But here he's saying, O son of men, you know, he said, you're turning the glory of God into shame. How long are you going to do this? How long are you going to listen to lies and love vanity and go after the things that are nothing? You know, here he's pleading with man, you know, to turn to Christ, which is something we should do. You could actually see a format here. As we pray to God, who is the God of our righteousness, to help us, to strengthen us, to enlarge us, to have mercy on us, as we pray and ask him to hear us, you know, we're to turn to men and say, you turn to God, because he's the only one who can deliver you. Verse 3 says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. You know, and that's a testimony to those who are children of God, that God will hear you. Verse 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. You know, it sounds familiar. He tells us in another place, be not angry, you know, and sin not. So we've got to think about it, you know, be in awe, think of God, concentrate on God. If we focus on his righteousness and his righteousness being worked through us, you know, we can sin not. You know, he says, be ye perfect as your Father which is in heaven and perfect. We're to follow after that. You know, we're to strive for that. Paul said, not as though I had already attained the resurrection or were either already perfect. He said, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press to that. We move to that. We focus on that. But we know that if we do make a mistake, it's not that we are, you know, trying to make a mistake. We're not making provisions for the flesh. We're not planning to make mistakes. But if you do make a mistake, you repent. You turn to God and turn away from that sin. You know, I'm about to get off track here, but there's it's all the Word of God. And I just pray that you just let it minister to your soul as we read through it. But we're to stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own hearts upon your bed and be still. You know, that reminded me of a prayer closet. There's a time where you get, you know, in most of us, a certain time of the day and all day long, you know, we are praying and having communion with God. You know, he tells us to pray always, pray without ceasing, pray continuous. You know, if we're always in communion with God, we don't leave a lot of time to sin. That's why he says in James to submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But that beginning point is submit yourself to God. Because if you don't submit yourself to God, you can resist the devil all you want. He's not going to flee. You know, and even as we looked a couple of weeks ago at Jesus being tempted 40 days and 40 nights, you know, that we resist the devil by quoting his word. Even the devil can quote his word, you know. That made me think about, you know, how the, in James it says, it's not good enough just to believe, because even the devils believe and tremble. But they're not Christians. They're not saved. You know, it is God who starts that work. But we have to submit ourselves to God. There was another point I was going to speak about right there, but you know how sometimes it just kind of gets away from you? That's but Lord willing, He'll bring it back to me. In verse 5, He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. He said, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increased. There's several places where it talks about this, and I had just been reading in Hosea about this. But the gladness of the world, when they're in prosperity, when they're getting all that they think the world owes them, you know, because they all think that everybody owes them something. You know, those who are not Christians think that they're owed something. I don't know, you know, how they get that, but when they think they're prospering, when they think that they're happy, here He is saying that the Lord lift up the light of my countenance, and He said, thou hast put gladness in my heart. When the Lord puts gladness in your heart, it's going to be more than the world can give. Because all that the world has is vanity. It's nothing. It's not lasting. And what God gives is everlasting. Like, again, Brother Lamar was talking about the true riches this morning, you know, and putting your heart is where your treasure is. You know, whether you're laying up your treasures here on earth or laying it up in heaven, you know, that's where your heart is. Verse 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. So we know that as we go through all these trials and we seek God and ask Him, it is only Him who can lay us down in peace and let us dwell in safety. We know that it's only Him who can protect us from all things. All right, I'm going to read some of the commentaries that I was telling you about. One of Life's Application Bible, the commentary on 4, 2, and 3. It says, idol worship was a reoccurring problem for Israel throughout its history. Israelites had, in turn, a land filled with idols and had not destroyed them as God had commanded. Therefore, idols continued to be a temptation for them. That's in Judges 2, 1 and 3. That worshiping idols of wood and stone mocked God, the creator of wood and stone. Said worshiping money or status also mocks God, the creator of wealth and worth. Said we worship idols today when we trust the creation to meet our needs more than the creator himself. And on verse 3 it says, David knew that God heard his prayers and would answer them. So we too can know that God listens and answers when we call on Him. Said sometimes we think God will not hear us because we have fallen short of His high standards. You know, that's why I was talking about a lot of times we sin. It's not that we're willing to sin. It's not that we want to sin, but we make mistakes. You know, it's as we had spoke a few weeks ago about the living in the spirit or living in the flesh. You know, sometimes things happen. He said, and Romans says, you know, even when I do good, evil is present with me, you know. And he said, that I would, I don't do, and that I wouldn't, I do. Sometimes that happens, but we just got to focus on, you know, turning from that and striving to please God. Because it's about obeying our Lord and Savior. All right. Anyway, he says here that sometimes we fall short of the holy standards of holy living. He says, but God listened to us because we have been forgiven. All right. When you feel that your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, remember that as a believer, you've been set apart by God and that He loves you. He hears and answers, although His answers may not be what we expect. I was thinking about that. His answers may not be what we expect, and sometimes His answer is no. You know, sometimes you think you know the will of God. You think you know what God's plans are. And I was reading a pamphlet talking about, you know, the thought, God's thoughts on you, you know. And it says His thoughts are far above our thoughts. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn to that real quick. I said I was going to turn to it real quick. I thought I had it marked. Okay, here we go. In Isaiah chapter 55, I'm just going to read verses 6 through 9. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." Of course, that's telling us there may be a time when He's not found. If He turns you over to a reprobate mind, if He hardens your heart, you know, because you have turned Him away so many times, you know, He won't be found. So He says, "Seek you the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near." He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him." And here He's telling that wicked man to turn from his thoughts, because his thoughts are not the thoughts of God. He says, "He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we got to remember that, you know, even when we think, you know, that we know, not that we're know-it-alls, but even, you know, a lot of times we think we know how God should answer something. You ever pray for something and you're actually praying how you want God to answer it? You know, and I do it a lot. I catch myself doing it, and I'll try to stop and say, "Lord, you know, not my will, but Thy will be done." Because a lot of times we say, you know, it may be something about praying for somebody else, and we'll say, "Well, Lord, bless them that they will get, you know, this, or they will receive that, or they will, you know," and we start telling Him how to answer that prayer. You know, when that's God's business, how He answers it, we just need to just pray what they need and what they need spiritually. But, so we don't always know how God's going to answer the prayers, but we know that all things work toward good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So if you're living for God and you're working, you know, and you're striving to please Him always, and you're going through a trial, it's going to work out for the good, because He said all things. He didn't say all things except for that trial you're fixing to go through. And He said, you know, like in 1 Peter, He said, you know, to think it not strange. Don't think it's strange that you're going through this trial. He said this fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. It's not something unusual, and it's not always going to be a little easy trial. Sometimes it's a fiery trial. Sometimes it's going to put pressure on you. But what that's going to do is that's going to enlarge you. That's going to increase your faith. That's going to make you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can't look at the end of the problem, but look through the problem and, "Lord, what can I learn here? What can I do to be more like You?" Because we know that He went through every trial and temptation that we have. There's nothing, no temptation known to man that Christ didn't see, that Christ didn't go through, that He didn't experience, so that He could be that great high priest who can teach us how to go through it. All right, look at your problems in the light of God's power instead of looking at God in the light of your problems. Okay, John MacArthur is talking on verses 1 through 8. He says, "There are certain similarities between Psalms chapter 3 and 4. For example, the former," talking about verse 3, "is sometimes labeled as the morning psalm." Remember where he was talking about, "I lay down and wake up and the Lord sustains me"? It's sometimes known as a morning song. He said, "While the latter has been called an evening song," in verse 4-8. He says, "But in both, David is beseeched with suffering, injustice, and oppression." He said, additionally, Psalms 4 also exhibits the changing attitude of the worshiper in his most difficult circumstances. In other words, he's telling you how David's attitude changed right in the middle of that circumstance. Because a lot of times we focus on the circumstance. And just like when Peter was walking on the water and the winds got boisterous and he focused on, you know, the winds are boisterous, I'm going to sink. And he began to sink because he took his eyes off of Christ. When we take our eyes off of Christ and we're not focusing on him, you know, we're going to sink. We're not going to walk on the water. We're not going to stay on top of that. And our faith is going to not grow, but be less. So as we're going through this, if we focus on Christ, then we're going to grow and we're going to increase. let's see. David's emotions went from anxiety to assurance. So, and that's how we do. You know, if you think about it, you're going through something and you quit focusing on the trial you're going through. Quit focusing on, you know, whether you lose your job and you can't pay your bills and you're focusing on, I can't pay my bills. You need to be focusing on, you know, well, Lord, what have I got? What are you going to teach me through this? You know, how am I going to learn? You know, because we got to rely on him. Says, as he traveled down the road of prayer and trusting in God, says, at the end of yet another day of pressure, pain, persecution, David engages in three conversations which ultimately lead to a point of blessed relaxation. And whenever God delivers you from a trial, don't you just feel relaxed? You just feel, I'm at ease. You know, I'm through it. Thank you, God, for it. And that's when, it's when you get through it that you praise the Lord. It's when you're knowing and trusting in God and relying on him all the way through it. You know, you're quoting scriptures that relate to that situation. You're thinking, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. All these other things is those circumstances that's bothering you that you think. If you concentrate on all these other things, you're not seeking ye first the kingdom of God. You're not seeking him. So that's what we need to concentrate on. All right, here are the three, John MacArthur says the three conversations that he was having was, the first one, praying to God for preservation. Chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, the second one is reasoning with his enemies about repentance. Chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. When I said, you know, after he was talking to God about listening to him, then he starts talking to the Son of Man. You know, he starts saying, now look, you know, you need to turn to God. You need to repent. You need to, you know, he wasn't saying, look at me, but he's saying like Paul did, you know, use me as an example. Look at what I'm doing through Christ, you know, or Christ is doing through me. Don't look at me, but look at Christ. Then he said the third one is praising God for true perspective. In other words, when he got through this, he had true perspective of what it was all about, what the trial was for. All right, I've got two more little commentaries to read through, and I'm going to try not to make as many comments, but just kind of listen to it. All right, this one says that on Psalms 4, says it is a prayer of confidence. It says, this psalm carries a firm note of optimistic trust from the first verse to the last. It said, with no word of complaint as found in Psalms 3. In Psalms 3, he was kind of giving his complaints. You know, he was saying, you know, he was crying out to the Lord for help, but he was stating all his complaints. He says, the psalmist appeals to God who has often delivered him from former trouble in the past. He says, he then challenges his enemies to stop terrorizing him and turn instead to God in repentance and worship. He says the psalm concludes with an expression of the joy of trusting in God for help. You know, and that's what we want to learn for it. Through all of this, all the trials, and it may be a simple trial. As Brother Joey had mentioned about, you know, his trial happens to be cancer, you know, and he's going through it, and he reminds me of Job. I'm as far as any person that I've known, you know, in my Christian life that would remind me of Job would be Brother Joey. Because through this cancer, I've never heard him say one negative word. He is always looking to God, looking to God. It's always, you know, looking to God. No matter what the situation, no matter what he's going through, the weakness of the chemotherapy, the, you know, all that he's doing, he's still looking to God. And that's what Job done. All that Job went through, you know, he always, he never cursed God. Even though his wife told him, curse God and die after all that he went through, you know. Well, Brother Joey, you know, you wouldn't expect him to curse God and die, but you would know that all that he's going through, he never questioned God. I thought about that shooting that happened at that movie. You know, all those people that got killed and all the ones that got injured. How many times do you reckon God heard, why? Why, God? Why me? Why my family? Why are they shooting? Why? You know, as they're going through that and as that's happening, I'm sure even those that were Christians are saying, but why, God? Why now? Why this? Why, you know, because I'm sure some of them, some of the adults probably had jobs and they couldn't go back to their jobs and they don't get, you know, you don't get rewarded for getting injured. You don't get rewarded for getting shot by somebody or whatever it might be. You know, it's not an automatic, well, we're going to pay for your bills, we're going to pay your, you know, because you got hurt. They had to look to God. Whatever it is, they still have to turn to God. They have to look to Him. Whatever the trial may be, you know, it may be that you got injured, you got hurt, you got shot, or death in the family. But we still look to God for that comfort, for Him to comfort us, because He's the God of all comfort. Oh, here's one on the, it says, Thou hast enlarged me. He says, in the verse, Thou hast enlarged me, Thou hast given me room. So here he's saying that it describes one who is under pressure and hedged in by the difficulty. He appeals to God, and God opens up a way through which he may escape. So in other words, he's hedged in by his troubles, by his difficulties, by his circumstances, and then God gives him room. God enlarges him. You know, so that's the way they explained it. I'm going to try to hurry up and get through this. Matthew Henry is a little more lengthy, so I'm going to just read on through it. He says, David addresses himself to God. Whether the sons of men, to whom he will be speaking later, will hear him, or whether they will forbear, he hopes and prays that God will give him a generous audience and an answer of peace. It says, hear me when I call and accept my adorations. He says, grant my petitions and judge upon my appeals. Have mercy upon me and hear me. He says, all the notice of God is pleased to take of our prayers and all the returns he is pleased to make to them must be ascribed not to our merit, but purely to His mercy. And that's what we need to think of. Even in salvation, it's not, God don't save you because you deserved it. God don't save you. He says, even while we were yet sinners, God saved us. And God saved us while we were, like I told you, I was reading in Hosea, and He told him to marry a woman of whoredom, a prostitute. And you're thinking, well, you know, God told him that. That's, He's showing that, you know, here he is, Hosea, a man of God, and he's marrying somebody who's unfaithful. They represent, he's showing a picture, they represent Israel, that woman that he married, because Israel was always leaving God and worshiping idols, always leaving God, just like she was leaving Hosea to other men. She was leaving, you know, and he was showing that picture. He's saying that, you know, here he is, Hosea, a man of God, a man who is trustworthy, you know, with a woman who is like Israel, who worships God and then turns from God and worships idols. And that is, you know, of spiritual adultery. So we got to know, even this day and time, that goes on. The people will claim to worship God, but then they really worship their cars, their houses, their boats, their possessions. They put their possessions above the one who created those possessions. And I said I wasn't going to say too much, but anyway, I'm going to come on down, because I like the way Matthew Henry says some of this. He says, "Hear me for my mercy's sake," is our best plea. Our best plea is to hear him for his mercy on us. He says, two things David here pleads further. He says, "Thou art the God of my righteous, not only a righteous God thyself, but the author of my righteous dispositions, who has, by the grace, wrought that good that is in me." He says, "has made me a righteous man. Therefore, hear me, hear men, and so attest thy own work in me." And he's going on about this, about God putting this righteous in him, but it's still God's righteousness. It's not his own. He said, you know, that he is not only a patron of righteousness, but he is my righteous. Hold on just a second. Let me back up just a little bit. He says, "Therefore, hear men, and so attest thy own work in me." He says, "Thou art also the patron of my righteous cause." He says, "the protector of my wrong innocency, to whom I commit my ways." You know, and a lot of times our innocency is wronged, but it is God who protects it. He says, "and whom I trust to bring forth my righteousness as the light. When men condemn us unjustly, this is our comfort. It is God that justifies. It is God. It is the God of a believer's righteousness." Now, I'm almost through here. It says, in closing, he says, "There has formerly enlarged me when I was in distress. Enlarge my heart in holy joy and comfort under my distress. Enlarge my condition by bringing me out of my distress. Therefore now, Lord, have mercy upon me and hear me." The experience we have had of God's goodness to us enlarges us. He says, when we have been in distress, is not the only great encouragement to our faith and hope for the future. Matthew Henry, he'll say a few words and pause. A few words and pause. One sentence is like a page long, if you've ever read after Matthew Henry. So it's kind of hard reading, but I hope you're getting the gist of it. He says, "but a good plea with God, a good plea with God in prayer, thou hast," or he's saying, "thou hast and thou will." In other words, he says, "thou enlarged me in the past. He brought me through the stress, and I'm confident that he will do it again." He says, "for thou art God and changest not. Thy work is perfect." When I thought about enlarges, he says, "thou hast enlarged me in distress." You know, that's the past tense. It's something he's already brought you through. And I thought about, "thou hast enlarged." All right, if you're going through a hard time, you're going through a trial, you're at your lowest point, you know, in order for your faith to grow, that's when it's going to grow, is when you're in your lowest point. That's when it's going to grow. It's not going to grow while you're on top of the mountain. It's not going to grow while you're having no troubles. And when you grow, you enlarge. And that was the part that the Lord showed me, which none of the commentators mentioned that. As we grow in grace, we grow, we get larger in grace, we get closer to God, we get more knowledgeable of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He tells us, you know, that he gives us light in darkness. So God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And light always dispels darkness. It creates a large area. You know, we think about when the sun comes up, how much surface is covered with the light. You know, well, God's Word does the same thing. It dispels darkness. It dispels sin. It casts it out. it shows it. It brings it to light. It shows you, you know, what you're doing wrong. But when I thought about God enlarging us, you know, to me, that is growing in faith. You know, because we're growing and walking closer with God. And I just thank you for your prayers. And I know you might not have understood anything I was saying, but I just pray that you got something out of it, to know that when we're going through trials, it is God who brings us through it. It is God who, as in past, enlarges us and brings us through it.